know if I'm going to change the music on this or not. I keep thinking about, you know, I need more different kind of music. And we got to get Bobby in here to record her Fish and Frank song. She wrote a great Fish and Frank song. But anyway, folks, yeah, starting off in the middle of a conversation. Yeah, I know, but you guys ought to be used to that by now. And if it's the first time you're listening to the show, well, I can tell you, this one may not be horrible. Right?
Sure.
Okay, in the chair across from me today is Andrew. And between the two of us in the middle is Mallory.
Hi.
Mad Monster Fish Mallory. And anyway, let me tone down this music. God, Frank's obnoxious when he plays guitar. You just can't get him to stop, you know? Shut up, Frank. Okay, there he goes. He's gone. Oh, so much better without him. Andrew, yes, I'm nuts. I get that, but you know.
We're all a little nuts.
Yeah. So, stretching's just...
I'm tired. Yeah. I've had him out the last 2 days trying to catch me a monster.
Really? What's been going on?
Not a whole lot. The pass has been very hit or miss. Couple bull sharks here and there, but the tarpon, the tides have been so slow, and the tarpon have been really staying out of the pass, so have the sharks.
Yeah, we've been hearing the pass is on a hit or miss thing.
Exactly.
Now, because we got one guy comes in and he just caught 4 tarpon in 5 hours and he just having a great time, and then the next boat came in and they're there an hour difference in time.
Yeah.
You know, it might be morning or it might be afternoon, and the lottery, the flip of the coin is, are you there when it turns on?
Right.
Because you got a little window, it's going to turn on and it turns off. Problem is, it could happen at 2 o'clock in the morning, it could happen at 7 o'clock, and you know, I mean, there's no way to tell when the fish are turning on. They're turning on, they're feeding every day, but when is that bite going to be? And that's tough. I would guess right now, because of the tides, if I was going to be going, I'd be going later in the afternoon.
Yeah.
I'd be fishing that very last bit of the day, because that's been the most water movement. So, and that's usually key to getting most of our fish biting. That.
Yeah, we were there during the day yesterday, from late morning into early afternoon, and there was a lot of boats out there. Not one fish was put in the air. And like Mallory said, they were staying outside of the pass. They're still not here in great numbers yet, though. There's no need to get discouraged.
Yeah.
They haven't even begun to show up yet.
This is the craziest year. Everything, it's more like in the 80s when May was the beginning of tarpon season.
Right.
I mean, May was the beginning and June was kind of the peak of it. And the last few years we got so used to March and April tarpon that we think everything should be going on. But if you think back in history a little bit, I can remember many years where it was the second week of May before the tarpon really did anything. And it's always been weird for me to think of April as a tarpon time, or March.
Yeah.
It was, you know, March and April just weren't, there was very little chance you'd have tarpon.
We've only been here 5 years, so we're used to that. We're used to March and April being the months that fishing really turns on. And this year, it has been more gradual.
Yeah, and this is like going back to the 80s, you know, and when tarpon... the tarpon season went through mid-July, and it was May, June, and July were the tarpon months. And then over climate change, global warming, whatever they call it now, I forget whatever the politically correct term for it is, everything's moved forward, but now this year, everything's moving back.
Yeah, and we really expected them to be early again. I mean, with as mild of a winter as we had, the water's nice, beautiful. It's too warm for this time of year, in my opinion, and they're still just kind of milling in. We're not seeing big numbers out there rolling. I'm hearing there's a lot more on the Gulf beaches.
A lot on the beaches.
But they're not filing into the pass like they were the last few years.
A huge amount in the harbor, but nowhere am I hearing where... I mean, to be quite honest, folks, I'm making a lot of money because tarpon aren't biting. I mean, the truth of it is, I'm doing very, very well because everybody's coming in and wanting a different rig, a different lure, a different
thing. They're all trying to figure out something that'll work.
Exactly. So everybody's on this hunt to figure out the secret weapon. And a couple of guys are doing pretty good. Now, I've ordered in a ton of spoons, a bunch of other stuff, and because I think people are going to a trolling scenario.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are trolling.
We saw that a lot yesterday.
And I think because still fishing isn't getting it, so they're trying to adapt and trying trolling. And thank you all very much, and I will help you with any rig I can, and you know, I could use the money. I mean, this is it's been a weird boost. Usually when the tarpon are really hitting, people are buying all kinds of stuff and doing that, but it's always like the same few things. But right now, I mean, they're going from one side of the store to the other, all looking for that secret weapon, what's going to turn them on. And I'm hoping to keep up on that, because boy, if it, once somebody finds what works,
right,
it's going to be heck catching up. I mean, keeping them in stock. And how's your guys' business doing? Mallory and Andrew are Big Bully Fishing Charters, and they take people or families out, shark, tarpon, grouper fishing, and you do it all from land. And it's more intimate because you're right there with the fish. They're bringing them up, and you get to actually up close personal, in my opinion, too close to personal, but you know, I mean, you guys like it. I got to tell you, everybody who's gone on a trip with these guys has come back with rave reviews. You guys are really kicking butt on that. Great job with your charters. I mean,
thanks. It's been going pretty well. We kind of took a break for a while to fish for us, because we don't get to do that too much. So, and we're also having fun teaching some younger kids that you know, we just take out. Austin from here, we took him out, when was that? Thursday, Friday. And our friend caught a big, nice 8-foot bull shark, and he learned and helped him, you know, take her back out on a release. So that's what we're enjoying right now.
We're still trying to make the younger generation get their eyes to bug out of their head. That's what I enjoy.
And now Austin has the fever. He's like, when are we going back? Because we told him, you know, we assigned him a rod at the beginning of the night, but it just wasn't in the cards for us that night. So hopefully we can get him back out shortly.
What we usually do is assign placement. Not so much a rod, but okay, you get first hit, second hit, third hit. And when the reel goes off, whether the fish is on or not, that was your hit. It was up to you to actually get it on, you know, hook it up. If you missed it, you missed it. You go back into rotation.
Yeah, we usually hook it up for them, like their first one on an ADY, just so they can learn how it functions. And we make sure that hook's in there, and then we harness them up, and they're in for a fight. Especially with these bulls are out there between 8 and 9 feet.
That's a lot of fight when you're standing on land.
Definitely.
You've been drugged, what, Mallory? Probably 4 to 6 foot, 8 foot in, out to the water, standing on bank, and you just keep getting drugged closer and closer into the water?
Close, sometimes. My last one gave me a run for my money, but...
Yeah, well, I mean, when you see her, she's only 5 foot nothing, and, you know... These fish are what, 300 to 500 pounds?
Yeah, depending. And a lot of them are pregnant right now, so
right,
they're almost double their size.
Yeah, they're enormous. They're scary looking.
Yeah. My last bull shark I caught, we were on a charter, and the guys decided to go to dinner, and we had bait in the water, and I'm like, okay. So I knew as soon as they left, it was going to happen. And
it always does.
I knew I should have reeled that bait in.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when I was doing tarpon charters a lot, I had to take all the light tackle rods off the boat because people would want to, you know, in the interim, because tarpon fishing is a lot of waiting and then broken by, you know, this hour of sheer, oh my God, you know.
Exactly.
And they would take a light rod and throw it, and that was always the one that hooked the, you know, you got, back then it was 10-pound mono or 12-pound mono, mm-hmm. and now all of a sudden you got 150-pound tarpon on it.
Yeah. Snoopy pole law.
Exactly.
The smallest rod is always the one that gets picked up by the biggest fish.
It
never fails.
And so I just learned not to deal with the smaller rod.
Exactly. Like we won't fish a 50 wide until the fish lessen in size, just for line capacity reasons.
Well, you know, you're out there and the fish is taking out 300, 500, 600 yards of line, and all of a sudden you're at the end of the spool. Whether you either go swimming with the fish or hope he turns, but you know, end is the end. It's not like the boat, you can't follow them.
Especially with the, you know, with the smaller reels, we have to fill them with braid, and that's what, a quarter a yard?
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a lot of money.
I can't afford to be donating that. And lately I've been donating a lot of tackle. I've been adding to your pockets as well.
Yeah.
Man, have we been tearing through some tackle.
The night he got that hammer, I think it destroyed it. When he was on, that shark swam into my line with its mouth open and just clean cut everything off. So, I mean, there goes $50. And then his rig was ruined from the hammer. So that's another $50. I mean, it adds up. But I don't mind replacing tackle when we catch these amazing fish.
Because, you know, your guys are still a little reeling from that, you know, 13-something foot hammerhead.
Yeah, I still can't fish.
Yeah, he's still out of commission.
My back's still messed up, so...
So now I'm after mine. Yeah. There's been a lot of younger kids this weekend who have caught some amazing things along Inglewood area. Tiger sharks, left and right juveniles, which is amazing for that species.
We were talking about today, I just did a show at Kale a little while ago, that blacknose, when I was fishing a lot back in the 80s and 90s and out in the Gulf, that was where you found the blacknose, on the reefs in the Gulf. And now, every year they're moving further and further up the harbor. And I had never caught one in the harbor, and now all of a sudden we're seeing more and more and more up in the harbor, and now tiger sharks, great whites.
The sharks are doing different things. I mean,
the sandbars. How far up in the harbor were people catching sandbars, where previously Moat would swear up and down that they don't go in brackish water? The PGI canals are catching 7-foot sandbars this winter.
They're following the food. I mean, that has to be what it is.
I'm not sure. I'm not going to call anything. I'm going to say you're probably right. But I don't know if it's a food issue, a water temp issue, let's go explore the world issue, you know, maybe that's how nature works, is that, you know, okay, we did this for so long, now it's not working, so we're going to change our habits and do something else. I mean, I'm at a loss. I have no idea, from the bait to the fish to this to that, the next thing.
There's a lot of differences this year.
And Shaw Harbor is becoming every year more and more of a fisherman's paradise. It's absolutely unbelievable. And you guys, with your beach fishing charters, you guys have opened up a whole new world of stuff that people have never seen, never thought was possible, never even imagined. And, I mean, it's great. Even FWC is recognizing the work that you guys do. And it's actually very, very cool. If you guys are sitting there and you're going, okay, I want to catch a big tarpon, big shark, big Goliath grouper, and you want to get up close and personal with it, this is the way to do it. I mean, standing on land, and I can catch the same fish with a boat on a tackle that's a third of the size of what you guys do.
Yeah.
Because the boat has a key and a motor, and all I got to do is follow them around. You know, it takes a lot of patience, but I can just follow them around. And, you know, now Andrew, he's Tarzan enough maybe to go out and follow that fish by swimming with the rod and reel, but most of us normal humans wouldn't do that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I could see him on a, you know, hooked up the 13-foot hammerhead in the kayak, just going, okay, I'll be back. I'm going to Texas now.
He almost had to leader his own hammer that night. It was just me, Jens and Andrew and our son, and I was holding everything in my arms when that fish came up, and I'm going, Jens, go get the fish, and he wasn't experienced enough. The water was too deep, and he's like, I'm not going in. So, and he's done. He's harnessed in, going, if this fish runs, that's it. He's like, I don't have any more fight left in me. But luckily we got her up, and
yeah, I mean, I hurt myself halfway through the fight. Well, I hurt myself previously that week leadering her fish, and from stepping over all the lines repeatedly, because you know how the hammers like to run back and forth, it just, whatever I'd hurt previously that week just finished itself off. And
well, I one of my fondest memories, you know, of not even catching a fish, but just watching a fish, is sitting just offside of Boca, and we would be sitting there taking fish blood and just pouring a cup full in the water at a time and a cup full in the water at a time. And you see all these bull sharks coming around the boat. We don't put any bait out. We're just getting the sharks to us. And we'd be sitting there with just cup after cup of fish blood. And because I don't believe in using mammal blood, because unless I'm using a liver from a cow or something, I think if you're walking down the street and you smell a steak cooking on the grill, it does not make you want a hot dog.
No.
You know what I mean? So if I'm going to fish chum with mammal, I want to fish with mammal parts. But if I was fishing with fish, so we were chumming with fish blood. And all of a sudden, the bull sharks just disappear. And now you see a fin come up. And back and forth across and back, just like every nightmare anybody's ever had about a shark,
yeah,
or every cartoon you've ever seen of a shark. It literally happens that way, where that fin comes up out of the water and they just keep going back and forth trying to hone in on exactly where that smell's coming from. And then they get up close to the boat and you grab this big chunk of bait, you just literally heave it over the side and watch that big hammerhead take the bait. It's really, because all of a sudden here they come and you just throw it in the water, they see that splash, and it's just watching the dorsal fin tighten up.
Yeah,
I mean, literally you can see the fin when they first catch the scent. It's, they're kind of okay, what is this? But as they get closer, they get more and more excited, and their dorsal fin, I mean, gets rigid. I mean, it's really cool to watch. Here you've got this fish with this, the fins going back and forth, and all of a sudden he's like totally erect. I mean, he's just, you know, the fins straight up. And
yeah.
Completely.
That's the only disadvantage, I think, fishing from the beach is we never get to watch them come in. Like, you can see them come in, you know, the chums lick off a boat.
Well, right in the evening time, out of Gasparilla, I used to do that a lot out there, and I made a living out of catching sharks, you know, doing a lot of shark trips and stuff 20 years ago, and it was, when you watch somebody's eyes the first time, and all of a sudden you go, look, and you're seeing all the bull sharks, and they all disappear, and here comes that hammer. Mm-hmm. One hammerhead will scatter 30, 50 bull sharks. I mean, they just leave. He's the king of the sea. Like they always talk about lions king of the jungle. Nothing like a hammerhead. Mm. When the hammerhead comes up, everybody backs off.
We've never been fortunate enough to see one out of a boat. I'd die.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know what to do with myself.
Well, pretty soon you guys have to take the bus and head out there one night.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, our biggest thing is I love doing different things, trying different things, and I don't want to be just a one-trick pony where I have to fish off the beach for sharks. I love getting out of the boats and trying for sharks and fishing for redfish.
I like the different aspects. See, to me, I think what you guys are doing is phenomenal. I think it's the most amazing, cool thing I've seen in a long time.
Oh, absolutely. And but for us, it's normal.
Yeah, sometimes we like to get away from all the people. Like, I just want to get on a boat and go where no one can fish next to me or around me or down the beach from me or up the beach from me.
Yeah, I know. We all love everybody, but there are times when you want to be alone. And I've always said, when I go out in the harbor, I go over and I look and I see a whole bunch of boats over there. I don't care what else is over there. I turn the other way and go.
Exactly.
And I've got so many creeks I can hide in. I've spent decades exploring all these little tiny creeks and out-of-the-way spots. And the fishing's good, decent. You know, I catch a fish. I don't catch as many as if I would go to the spots where there's a lot of people. But to me, fishing is the mental therapy.
Exactly.
And I love my customers, and I just have a ball with everybody in here, and I really enjoy it. But when I want to get away, I want to get away.
Not so much about catching.
Yeah.
No.
It's about getting out and enjoying yourself. And that's why most of the time we'll run away to the woods or something. Or
yeah.
The Everglades, like you just got to do, or...
Oh, I got to tell you, that trip with Josh was amazing. I think it's a $500 trip, plus you're going to have to pay for gas to get to the Glades. Worth every penny of it. I don't think it's something you'd want to do every week, but I think one time to have that memory, I mean, you've done it, it's absolutely amazing.
Oh, yeah, if you have to do it before you die. I don't care who you are and what you like catching.
Start putting money back, spend the $500, go to the Glades with Josh, and just experience it.
He tried to get me to go today. He's like, come on, we got an invite. And I'm like, 4 hours on a Tuesday? That's how much he loved it.
You can't get back till, you know, it's literally 3.5 hours down, 3.5 hours back. But, you know.
That's how much I
like it. Plus fishing time. Yeah, well, I've got that porta boat here that I'm going to rig up to do that a little bit with.
Yeah, I have. I'm still working on his video trip from when he went with Josh. And, I mean, they caught so many fish. It was like every time they dipped the line in the water, I mean, they were pulling something out.
Yeah, that's the way it was when we went down with Josh. It was just, you know, and it's top water. I love top water.
Yeah, I like top water, too.
And what was weird, pound for pound, I picked the Oscar over the peacock.
Yeah, those things are nasty.
If you had a pound and a half Oscar and a pound and a half peacock, that Oscar was kick its butt. I mean, the splash when it came up, you'd think the fish was 2.5 feet long.
Yeah, and they're nasty.
I mean, crazy fish. A lot of fun.
We actually had to...
Oh, sorry. I wanted to go back one thing. I know we so stay on topic, but what's the best bait right now out by Boca Gasparilla?
Oh, stingray. But I have something. I need to find this out. In the waterline, they published that there's a limit on cow nose stingrays. We personally only take about 2 each when we go, because that's all I can carry. But a couple of sharkers are very concerned because they've never heard of such a regulation. I kind of tried to search myself online on FWC, and I couldn't pull up anywhere that says this is the bag limit per person per day. And so I'm looking to clarify that. But right now, the sharks are definitely eating on stingray mullet.
Mullet's doing good. I've been hearing everything, you know, about available bait that you can buy is about mullet.
Yeah, mullet's really good.
Mullet should always be your go-to.
Yeah.
It's the nightcrawler of the ocean, in my opinion. Really? Everything eats it.
If you can get a net full of fresh mullet before you go shark fishing, I mean, that really beats out a lot. And you can keep the crabs off of it, of course.
Yeah, I'm on FWC site right now trying to find anything.
Yeah, it was really difficult to locate. I was looking for it to post personally to be like, here it is, everyone. Here are the regulations.
Well, I'm you're FWC guy.
Yeah, I can email him and
he's been calling me, and we're actually getting along pretty good. Thank you guys for introducing that.
He's
the first person from the state I actually get along with.
Wonderful.
You know, most of them are so obtuse.
Exactly. He answered all of my ridiculous questions. I mean, I met this guy, and I'm like, hi, I'm Mallory. I would like to talk to you about tarpon regulations. Like, I mean, and
he's amazing.
Yeah, he really is. He makes you really comfortable. He's easy to talk to.
Yeah, I mean, and... Well, he's not going to look down on you for what you're asking him.
Exactly. Right. He would rather you ask the questions and get the correct information than not.
Because we couldn't find any regulations books. We couldn't do anything. Nobody would help. And because, let's face it, the people at the state get paid. Every week they get their paycheck. They don't care. I mean, they really don't. I mean, they just don't care. I don't know why, but you would think, okay, they make their living from the taxpayers. You think they would care what happens to the taxpayers. Oh, no. Like, when we ran out of paper and I tried helping people, I said, well, what difference could it make to the state if they print it now or print it later? You know, I did a list of names. I said, I need 15, 20 reprints because we were out of paper.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, you can't do that. You thought I had shot the Pope. Well, if you didn't have paper, why were you selling licenses? You know,
yeah.
They really don't care. And he's the one person I found at state that actually cares if people fish, how they fish, what happens to it. He's just a great guy.
Oh, yeah. You can tell he really enjoys what he does for a living. And it's more to him than just a job. He's been so great with us, and we pester the hell out of him. And he never gets annoyed with us. And
yeah, so let's call him and find out from Alan what this actual regulations are. Because regular stingrays, there's no rules on, but cow nose ray is a different species.
Yeah.
And
I think it's considered an eagle ray. I mean, they have...
No. You have spotted eagle rays and all this other stuff. But each one has its own special things of concern.
Right.
So, I have not heard of a limit on cow nose, but I've never... But who knows?
Exactly.
I mean,
the information is so hard to find. I mean, if they would just clearly state it, here you go, here are your rules, follow them, it wouldn't be...
But Florida's part of that southern religious thing where they rely heavily on divine knowledge. Yes, my son, you know the fishing laws. You know how to catch fish. You know that this is where you're supposed to go slow. Yes, my child, you will learn how to do this. You know, it's just the way Florida is. It's all about, you know, you're supposed to be able to, you know, transmit with the supreme deity to get your fishing information.
Sounds like the navigational markers when you're boating, too. Which, unfortunately, I would know way too much about.
What happened?
Oh, let's just say, if you could get paid to find bottom, I'd be a wealthy man.
Well, see, I'm one, I don't like markers. I'm not big on markers. I think the intercoastal should have markers, and everything else, you know, if you don't know where you're going, go slow. That's what I do. And, you know, I mean, it's nice having channel markers in dangerous places. Like, the intercoastal is a dangerous waterway to run because you've got 20 feet of water and then 6 inches,
mm-hmm.
and they're right next to each other. And having a channel marker there. But in the middle of the harbor, what? Why do we have markers in the middle of the harbor? Mm-hmm. That's just something to hit, and people do it all the time.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's amazing how often these markers have to be replaced because people bang into them with the boats.
That was the worst we ran aground, actually, is because somebody had run the marker
over. They ran the marker over, so we were going into Stump Pass, and we cut too soon, so we were in the grass, and I'm going, oh, look at the manatees. There's baby manatees, thud.
Baby manatees.
We didn't hit the manatees.
We didn't hit bottom,
yes. You were making that sound a little ominous there, Mallory.
But on the way back out, we noticed that someone had run the marker over, and it was broken and under the water.
Yeah, it's always fun. But anyway, that's why I don't rely on markers. If I'm not sure where I'm going, I just go slow. But anyway, if somebody was going to go out to the beach and just a regular fishing pole, you know, just a regular spinning rod and stuff. Any advice for them? Because you guys go out there a lot with that just to catch bait.
Yeah, just make sure that you have plenty of lead, because the waves and the current have been pretty strong, even on the Gulf beaches, just as a courteous to everybody else. And mullet,
now,
whatever
as a courteous to everybody else, explain that.
We run into a lot of people who are out there, they don't have enough lead, they don't have the right equipment, and their lines are just drifting and tangling in everybody down current from them, and it is the most frustrating
annoying
thing,
yes.
I'll say politely. And then normally their go-to, instead of saying I'm sorry and fixing it, is to attack you.
Yes.
I'm not sure what that logic is.
Why'd you put your line there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, my line was here. Your line was right over there.
My line was 100 yards out.
Yes.
Why did you put your line here?
So, and I understand. It can get a bit frustrating. So, good advice. What's running out there? Any mackerel, pompano?
There's a lot of mackerel.
A lot of mackerel, yeah. A lot of mullet.
Yeah, the mullet are finally starting to come in. I'm hearing about some flounder. I haven't seen any pompano, but I haven't really been paying attention. A little while ago on one of the Gulf beaches on the island, they were into the pompano pretty good. I can't remember which one it was. It was on Boca, though. They were just using live shrimp, you know, your typical pompano rig.
Right.
And they were doing pretty good. We probably saw 10 of them caught that day. Other than that, that's all we've really been seeing. A lot of sea turtles, manatees, and dolphins out right now. It's that
yeah,
time of
lots
year, so.
Of manatees. Yesterday we were on Boca from like 9 to 3, and there was this little group of manatees just going up and down the beach, and of course everybody that's not used to the manatees are chasing them, trying to get them to come up. Can you come up? Can you make them come up so I can take their picture?
Yes.
I'm like, they don't really like people, so I don't know.
when I see manatees, I just think manatee. I become one with the zen of the manatee. I can call the manatee.
I just think, get away from my line.
Yeah, we always have to run out and push our lines down so they can
swim
over. Yeah.
And what's weird is they're asking you to break feather a lot to approach a manatee.
Well, they all go into the water to get it to come up, and I'm like, no, move back. It doesn't want you in the water, so when you go towards it, it's just going to go down even further. So I'm like, just stay back so it can't see you, and then it'll come up, and it won't be as scared.
Yeah, it's funny how people assume life is a Disney cartoon. Like,
yeah.
Oh, here, little manatee, come and drink out of my teacup. You know, stay back, let the manatees approach you if they want to.
Yeah.
Because I've had so many of them stick their nose up on my boat, come up,
yeah.
I mean, I'm waiting, and they come up and push you, like, pat
yeah.
me, you know. They're very inquisitive, and they're very, you know, interactive with things, but not if you approach them.
Yeah.
Because the only things in nature that approach you are things
predators.
Trying to hurt you.
Right.
You know, if you go up to them, it's exactly the wrong thing to do.
Yeah.
And if you see them wrestling each other out there, stay away from them.
Yeah.
We saw a ranger save a couple people. I don't know, what was that, 2 years ago?
The manatees
were all knotted up on the beach, you know, doing their thing.
Right.
And people kept trying to approach him, and he goes, you do not want to get pulled into that mess right there. He's like, there's like 6 males per 1 female when they do it, and it's not going to be good for you.
And they will just treat you as a female.
Exactly.
I mean, people don't realize that. Manatee, it's a mammal. It has all those instincts.
Yeah.
And if you want to be treated as a female manatee, yeah, get right into the group there.
Yeah.
If you survive, you're probably going to have some real nightmares for a while.
They do not discriminate.
No. So anyway, on that.
Let's end on manatee sex.
Yes. I got to tell you, I just love this show. If you're one of our regular listeners, you understand there's no way to know where we're going to go. And for that, I'm not really going to apologize, but I'm going to say, c'est la vie, you know? But Andrew, Mallory, Big Bully Fishing Charters, if you want an amazing experience, truly amazing, something you will remember the rest of your life, hire these guys to take you out and show you what up close and personal with monster fish is all about. And I think you have a good time. Any last words of wisdom or sage advice or anything?
Get out there and go fishing.
Yeah, especially this time of year, even if you guys aren't really too much into fishing, there's so much to see out there right now. Like I said, the dolphins, manatees, sea turtles, you can't beat it. It's better than a postcard.
It is a postcard. This is the tropical paradise you were dreaming about, and it's all happening right now.
Yep, this is the time of year.
Well, thank you guys, and once again, Fish and Frank, Andrew Mallory, Big Bully Charters, and we'll catch you on the next Radio Fishing. Bye-bye.